Don't want that. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you here in Grace Walk as always. I am encouraged when I look out and see you in your place. It's special, and I like special things, don't you? Well, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, and as I said last week, it may take us a week or two or three to get through chapter 10, but we're going to backtrack just a hair back to chapter 9 for just a moment, because there are some things in chapter 10 that chapter 9 will lay the groundwork for. And so there's so many good things. You know, I got this thing in my brain. What brain I have is split in two, Elver. Yeah. I have part of my brain wants to get through, because I know we're all human and we lose attention. And I know we need to move on, but there's so much good. The other part of the brain says, let's camp out here a while. I need this. And if I need this, there's a chance that somebody else might need it. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and that's where we'll get started here in just a moment after a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house, and we ask God that you would help us to remember the value and the great privilege, the blessing of being able to get together. And it's not because we're special or our pastor is special or anything else is special, but what is special is that we're together studying the Word of God, and the Word of God is the only thing that has the answers for life. The Word of God is the only thing that helps us to think properly and understand and discern. So God, I pray that you would be with this Sunday school hour, and certainly the message this morning and Brother David tonight, and help us to consider it such an awesome privilege to be here, because this is where we meet you together with each other. Father, we take a moment, we pray for our country. We pray, as was said earlier, for our service men and women. I pray, God, that you would be with our leaders as they make hard decisions, Lord. And we know that there has been great loss of life in this campaign, this battle, this war that started Friday night, Lord. And I just pray that you would help Americans, help people here in this country and abroad see that evil is very real. Wickedness is very real. And sometimes it has to be dealt with, Lord. And in that vein, I pray that you would give our leaders discretion and understanding, not based on emotions or passion or anything like that, but understanding found, the basics that are found in the Word of God, that the values of how to think and the values of making good decision. I pray that you would give our leaders that right there. Wrap your loving arms of protection around them, and then all those people, Lord, who are just innocent victims and bystanders in the country of Iran. We pray, God, that you would put into their path Christians, put into their path influences, even on social media, that would tell them about the saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, and give them an alternative, an option to what they believe now. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for just a few minutes. As you heard last week, this church was a mess, not our church, but the Corinthian church. They had such inability to get along, we found out in chapter 1. Couldn't agree on anything. They lived their life, we found out in chapter 2, without the leading of God's Spirit. What they decided to do and how they thought was based on their own whims, and that's never a good thing, because we all need the protection, the guidance of God's Word in our thoughts. We found out that they were immature, been saved a long time, but they didn't know what they should do and how they should think as a child of God. Never a good thing. And then we come to chapter 4, and we saw that they were fake. Paul spends a great amount of time in chapter 4 telling him about the need for sincerity of heart. Be who you say you are, he says. And then we come to chapter 5 and we see that great sin in the church that this man would not take care of. And then the sin that the church would not take care of since the man didn't take care of. And Paul's plea with the people were, don't let this sin go unchecked. And that's important for me and for you, because sin can be found in how we think and in what we do in our own lives. And if we don't take care of it, it'll run its course. Take us away from our Lord. And then we see that we have brothers suing each other in court. And Paul tells them that, hey, you, as a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit that gives you the wisdom to think and the understanding, the discretion to know how to make good decisions. You don't need an outside court of law to do this. God's church should be the place where that happens. We should be able to think clearly. And if that weren't enough, there were a lot of questions about marriage, singleness, and divorce. And Paul gives us in that chapter there some really good pointers that we can use for anything in our life. He says you should be sincere in your life. You should have discretion in your life. You should make choices that give God's glory, give God the glory that's due Him. And you should be content to be where God has placed you. And that's pretty important. That's pretty important. And then he talks about the need for God's people to get along, even though they're on different levels of spirituality, different levels of knowledge in the Word of God. This grown, spiritually mature brother and this new Christian, they should consider each other and have a love for each other. And when because they're not on the same planes, they should try to grow together. Somebody in the prayer room said, pray for me my family and I can grow together. That's important. And what we start seeing in these first 9 chapters is this overwhelming desire that the Apostle Paul has for people, God's people, in God's church, to love each other, to care for each other. And then Paul goes into the fact that although he's not taking a paycheck, although he could take a paycheck and nobody would probably fuss too much, but he said, it's better that I don't, and it's better for you. We don't know all the details of that. Maybe they had gotten swindled by a TV evangelist or something. We don't know. But he does all of this, and he talks about all this that the people in the church of Corinth have messed up on. They're not where they should be. And then we come to the end of chapter 9, and he says in verse number 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Then he turns the spotlight to himself. He's talked about these people for 9 chapters, and he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. No boxing term. When the guy's in the ring and he's boxing, but he's never hitting his opponent, he's just swinging his arms. Paul says, that's not my intent. I intend to be making headway with my Christian life. And in order to do that, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, think with me here. He has spent especially 8 chapters, but you could say 9 chapters talking about them. And then he turns the table on himself and says, you know what? I could be right behind you. Paul had such a desire to be approved of God. He had such a desire to not be ashamed when he stands before the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Timothy says, it's important for me to study the word of God, and important for you to study the word of God so that I'm not ashamed in my faith. I'm not ashamed when I stand before the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Paul and all those preacher boys that he taught, and I don't think it was Paul. I really think it was being led by the Spirit. The Spirit teaches us all things, and if we're allowing the Spirit to teach us all things, then we're thinking alike. Funny how that works, isn't it? Paul says, my big goal in life is not to be ashamed before God. And dear Corinthian church people, now he loved them. We found out in chapter 1 he loved them. He cares for them greatly. He started the church and he witnessed to them. And then he left off starting other churches, and that's when it all went to pot. He loves them. But he says, I've talked to about you for 9 chapters now, but I'm afraid I could do the same thing. It's a pretty important lesson to remember. Then he spends chapter 10 on that same thing, which we got into just a little bit. And then the first part of what we found last week was he reminds the Corinthian church members of how the Israelites treated God in the wilderness. Read with me in verse 1, chapter 11, chapter 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Now, this is a look up here for just a minute. You'll find this funny, maybe. If you read the Pauline epistles, that's the epistles, the letters that Paul wrote. You got a fancy name for them. If you read his letters, you find certain sentence constructions in all of his letters that are similar. And someday I want to get to heaven and I want to talk to Apostle Paul and I just want to visit with him and see if what I'm about to tell you is true. I think the Apostle Paul was a very kind, courteous person, even as a leader. I think when he got on to somebody, they didn't even know that they were being gotten on to, Stacy. You know, it's like one of those, I've had some bosses like that where they talk to you and you feel like you're on the same page and then they walk away and you're thinking, oh man, he just leveled me. You know, he just put me in my place. I think Paul was that way. Because he's talked for 9 chapters about the people's problems and then the last part of chapter 9 about the ease which he could slip right into it and become a castaway and not be approved by God. And then he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." And really what he's telling them is they are ignorant of what he's about to tell them. "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all identified unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, we talked about that word baptized. It just simply means they identified with Moses. When we have a baptism up here, that person gets dunked down into the water, dying to his old self or her old self, and comes up out of that water and identifies with Christ and God's people. The people were led by Moses after they came out of that captivity, and Moses led them. Moses was the one that had the faith. They identified with him. Now, having said that, now this is so important, but we're going to start reading the next verse, but I want you to remember that. They identified with Moses. They followed Moses, okay? So they were all baptized or identified unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 to 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition. Okay, let's stop right there. So these people are following Moses. Now Moses is well approved by God. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, where we saw last week how God talked highly. The scriptures talks highly of Moses' faith. But here, this passage tells us that the people are not really like their leader. They identified with him. They followed him. God would tell and give instructions to Moses on what to do. And they would follow Moses. And because of that, God would bless them. They partook of the same blessings, the manna and the water that God provided, the sustenance, and he cared for them. But then they went right back into their old ways of complaining and of murmuring and not being faithful to the Lord. They identified with Moses, but they didn't mimic him too well. He's the one that had the faith. They didn't. They didn't. So I was thinking about this word identified this week. God blessed these people. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They were sinning on every turn. God would forgive them, and then they would step right back into the hole, and then God would forgive them. Read the account. That's all the whole wanderings through the wilderness. Is that right there? And God keeps blessing them. Why is that? Because they identified with Moses. So I was driving this week, and it just hit me. I mean, sometimes things just hit me. And I tell you what, there was a hand that came out of that steering wheel and just slapped me across the face on this one. And I ended up thinking this right here. God, surround me with people. Surround my life with people. Let me be identified with people who are faithful to you and good influencers on my life. Because I'm going to mess up. At times in my life, I'm going to be just like those foolish children of Israel. And I want to be around people who are godly people and are such a good influence upon my life. Now, let's turn the tables. Because it wasn't 2 miles down the road where this thought came to mind. Want to hear what it is? God, make me that person for you. Two-sided coin there. God blessed the children of Israel in all of their murmuring and complaining and all that junk that they did for so many years because of Moses' faithfulness to God. I want to be around men and women who are so faithful to the Lord. There's an influence there. Do you see what I'm saying? It's important for us to not only be that person for other people, but to surround ourselves with that kind of people. A I think we've had that for a long time at Bible Baptist Church. I just do. You know, people have asked me for a long time, because we've always lived in Lubbock when we went to church here, why do you do that? You got 50 churches in your backyard over there, in your neighborhood. Why do you come to Slayton? I don't know. It just felt right. But you know what? Looking back, hindsight is a pretty good thing to have, okay? Hindsight is Valerie and I just, we just saw a whole bunch of godly people. They weren't perfect at all, but they were people who loved the Lord, and they valued this right here. Not because of the program we got or entertainment or great pastor that we have. No, because there's many, many families just meeting together and doing the best thing that we could possibly do with our time. And that's get into the Word of God. Because see, there's all kinds of things that we could do that would be more entertaining, wouldn't they? They might be fun, and we might even feel a little inspired. I feel inspired sometimes. There's some good godly Christian movies that you can watch, and they're good movies. They have a good storyline. But let me tell you, there's nothing like God's people getting together and spending time in the Word of God. You say, Dwayne, do you really believe this, or are you just trying to convince yourself? No, I really believe this. I really do. The church that I was a part of two different times in my life, Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie. The church is still in Grand Prairie, but it's in some another part of town, and it's nothing like it was when we were there. So different. So probably 15 years ago, Valerie and I and the kids went, and besides it being different. Now we're old, right? Say amen. We're old, so we have problems with change, don't we? Sure we do. But it wasn't the difference of the music or the the dancing team on the stage or anything like that. Wasn't any of that. That was mean, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But it was just so different. But we stayed the entire service, and then we left, and driving back to Lubbock, I remember Valerie and I talking, so where's the time in God's Word? The guy got up for maybe 20 minutes and told about 50 stories. Where is that thing that actually works on this heart right here? Because that's the only thing that matters. They sang some songs that were spiritual, and if we listen to the words, they were good words. But I guarantee you there's nothing that we could do that's better than what we do here at Bible Baptist Church. May not like the speakers, or you may like the speakers. I don't know. More than likely, because you're human, sometimes you like the speaker and sometimes you don't, because that's the way we are. Amen? But when you come to this church, and I got to watch it because I don't want to be prideful. Because we all can change. Our church could change. We could be like Paul right there and become a castaway. But as of right now, you can come to any of these three services and hear a good, solid message from the Word of God. And that's what's important. So I want to identify with people like that, because I'm not always going to be that. And if God works toward us as he worked toward Moses and the children of Israel, then when I'm not like that, when I'm, like I said a few minutes ago, sometimes I get off the road into the ditch. When I'm down in the ditch, I want to be around people who will help me get back up on the road. I want to get back between the white lines, because life is better between the white lines. And for the child of God, the white lines is God's Word. It's what directs us as we go down the road. Our desire as a Christian should be to live in such a way that people have such a positive experience and result from being with us. Not just having fun and liking us and being impressed by us. I mean, none of that's wrong, I guess, but we want to be a positive people upon our kids and our grandkids, upon our neighbors, upon city council and the mayor. And we need to be that kind of people, and the only way we can be that kind of people is to do what we do. Isn't that great? God's got it all worked out. All we got to do is follow. So let's read verse 11 again. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or warning. Warning. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then he gets into these next two verses, and he brings it all home. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take it heed, lest he fall. He's telling us to do what he did in verse 27 of the last chapter. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Paul says in verse 12, don't be so prideful that you think you would never do that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now listen to this. It's a key point, key phrase in this verse. But will, with the temptation, what? Read that loud, Beverly. Also make a way to escape. Boy, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. And then he says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I'm blessed to have these commentaries that I read, and then when I'm driving, a lot of them are on audio, so I listen while I'm driving. And one of the guys said this right here, and I wrote it down. He said this: God always makes a way of escape, but sometimes that way, while on the King's highway, is a good pair of heels. Now think about it. He said, yeah, you're going to be tempted in life, but when he throws the temptation in your path, there's going to be a path. There's going to be a way to get away from it. And then he says in the very next verse, wherefore, my dearly beloved, run from it. Put those running shoes on and get away. And then he says in verse 15, I speak to the wise, as to wise men. I had a problem with that for just a few minutes. Just for a minute, okay? Where have they been wise? This is a messed up group of people. And yet Paul says, I speak to wise men. Why'd he say that? And the only thing I can come up with is this right here. They're God's people. Now they're messed up, but they're God's people. And at their disposal is the wisdom that God's Holy Spirit brings to each of us. To each of us. He says, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. In that chapter on marriage and divorce and being single. All throughout the first 9 chapters, in fact, he's admonished us to use discretion. And as I've said a few times before, our generation today and the generations before us, we were really good at keeping rules, weren't we? For the most part. As a general characteristic of us, we keep schedules, we keep rules, we keep lists. And that's great if you need all of those things. But what's not great about it is what Paul is saying is he's not really saying, hey, Brother Chris has got a list of 30 ways for you to be and you need to keep it. No, he's not saying that. You think about this stuff. you take the facts from the Word of God and you take the understanding that God's Holy Spirit gives you when you read His Word on your knees in prayer with a humble spirit, a humble attitude, and ask for wisdom. You take those two things together, you figure this thing out. And what we see is, in the past 60, 80 years, this is just my opinion, by the way, if you disagree, you could very well disagree. My opinion is, past 60 years, we Christians have been really good at lists and not so good as discerning what's really right or wrong. And you know why that is? Because it's so easy to keep a list. I like checking off boxes. Don't you? I'm a list checker offer. I like that. And Paul says, don't worry about your list in so many ways. God's given you the wisdom and the discretion because you're a child of God and because His Word is out in front of us. He's given us a way to think about this thing. You're married, you're single, you're divorced, and you want to go to some other way to be. Well, God's given us direction. Use the common sense and the good wisdom and discretion that the Holy Spirit gives you and make that distinction. And then as we close, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Okay, so he kind of turns a little bit of a corner. It's not a 90 degree, but it's a little curve to the right here. And he starts talking about the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, what we do is commemorate the fellowship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when we were going through the book of John, we found out that a good way to think about the word for fellowship is just the sharing of that which we have in common. And when we want to maintain our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship with Him, well, we got to get on the same page with Him. We've got to share that which we have in common. And what He's going to show us next week is that cannot be done if we're doing other things. That cannot be done if we're trying to have a church and yet we're allowing this guy here in our example from chapter 5 or 6, whatever that was. This guy whose life is steeped in sin and sexual immorality, and yet the church is keeping him around and they're not even trying to help him out of it. We cannot be at the Lord's table and His table at the same time. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, they had no discretion because God's Holy Spirit was not leading them, and they were immature, meaning that they were not growing in the Scriptures. Fellowship would dictate to us, if we share that which is we have in common, common denominator in both, is that we can't expect to have fellowship with the Lord if we're not in His Word, because we don't know how to think. He has spent 9 chapters on telling us, hey, God's Word and God's Holy Spirit gives you discretion. Now, if we decide to do something other than that, which we do, then we can't have fellowship with Him. And we'll see next week how God is a jealous God. And I'll leave you hanging on that one right there. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for these few minutes together.